Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today is Irvin Daf Pei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 9 lines from the top of Daf Pei at the end of the line. Before we begin the Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, under which we've written Ha-me'arev, one who is making an eruv or a shituf. Ha'im tzorch lezakos lachirim. Does one have to present it to others? And as we learned in our previous shiur, if one is providing for the neighbor's food, in other words, he's taking his own food and providing it for the neighbors, does he have to present the food to someone else who will receive it on their behalf? Or is it enough for him to simply set it aside in their name? We will discuss, number one, the Eruve Chatzeros, which is parallel to the concept of Shitufe Mevuos. It's a function of unifying a domain that is inhabited by multiple individuals. Number two, Be'eruve Tchumen. This has to do with extending one's Shabbos boundaries, whereby without an Eruv Tchum, one is restricted to 2,000 Amos from where he is at the outset of Shabbos. If he makes an Eruv Tchumen by placing food at a distance beyond the 2,000 Amma mark, he thereby extends his Shabbos Tchum in that particular direction. And the third area is Be'eruve Tavshilin, where I set aside some food that I prepare before Yom Tov, which comes out on a Friday, namely Yom Tov that runs into Shabbos, or if you're outside of the land of Israel, so you'll have a situation where Yom Tov is on Thursday and Friday, and you want to be able to prepare food on Yom Tov for Shabbos. You accomplish that by making an Eruve Tavshilin, by setting aside food from before Yom Tov. So the issue that we're dealing with in one word is Zechiyah, or Lezakos. We should point out that we have a double underlining to highlight the different cases. Shitufei Mevuos and Eruvei Tchumen, you can see, are highlighted accordingly. The Gemara, Itmar, Shitufei Mevuos, the joining together of different courtyards opening to an alleyway, or different houses that open into a courtyard. Rav Omar Ein Tzorach Lezakos. Rav says it's not necessary to present the food that will serve as the Eruv to someone else who will receive it on behalf of the other residents. Ushmul Omar Tzorach Lezakos. Shmuel says that you do have to do that. Eruve Tchumen, where I am going to extend a Shabbos boundary for someone. Rav Omar Tzorach Lezakos. According to Rav, someone must receive the food on behalf of the beneficiary. Shmuel says, Ein Tzorach Lezakos, that it's not necessary in the case of Eruve Tchumen. So that you can see that Rav and Shmuel, essentially they switch their positions with regard to these different kinds of Eruven. Bishlomo L'Shmuel, Shmuel's opinion is more easily understood. Achotnan, here in the case of the Shitufei Mevuos, the Mishnah says, Umezake Lohen. So you see an explicit reference to the need for Zechiyah in this case of Shituf Mevuos. For Hocha, in the case of the Tchumen, Lo Tnan, there's no reference to that. There's a Rashi that points out Hocha lo tnan beiruve tchumen katani lekamon ketsad mishtadfin betchumen v'chulei v'lo katani umezake lohen, and it doesn't say any. There's no reference to lezakeis. Elo le Rav, my taima. But according to Rav, why does he say what he does? What he does? The Gemara answers, Tanoi he. The issue is a machlokes tanoim. And you should take note that we have a long marking here in order to appreciate this answer. The Omer Yehuda Omer Rav, Maise bekalosoi shel Rabbi Hoshaya. An incident concerning the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Hoshaya, Shaholcha lebeis hamerchotz, she went to a bathhouse, and Rashi points out she went there while it was still Friday, and it was outside the tchum of her city, and Shabbos set in, and it would appear that she cannot return home as a result. That's v'choshchala, v'irvo lo chamosa. Her mother-in-law had made an eruv tchumin. In other words, this would have enabled the daughter-in-law to come back from the merchatz, to come back home, even though the merchatz was more than 2,000 amas from where the woman lived. But being that the eruv tchumin was made by her mother-in-law, well, that could help her. Ubal ma'isa lifnei Rabbi Chiya v'asar. The incident came in to the attention of Rabbi Chiya, and he forbade. Omar lo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel turns to Rabbi Chiya and says, Bavloi, kol kach ato machmir be'eruvin. Are you so stringent with regard to eruvin? Kach Omar Abba. Thusly said father. Father is Rabbi Yossi. Kol shiyesh l'chol l'hokel be'eruvin hokel. Wherever you can be lenient in the realm of eruvin, so be. To be lenient. V'ibay alaho. And the question came up, Michel Chamosa Irvola, was the food placed as the Erev Tchumen for the daughter-in-law, was it food belonging to her mother-in-law? And Reb Chiya's stringency was a Mishum Delo Zichsala, because there was a lack of Zichia, showing that Reb Chiya is the opinion that Rav would be based on, that you need to have Zechia in the realm of Eruvei Tchumen, Oy Dilma, or possibly Mishalo Irvala, the mother-in-law took food belonging to the daughter-in-law, Mishum Shalom Midaita. The mother-in-law had not informed the daughter-in-law of this matter, and that's why Reb Chiya says it was an ineffective Eruvei Tchumen. So the a particular member of the Rabbanon, of the rabbis, said, and his name was Rabbi Yankiv, it was explained to me by Rabbi Yochanan the following, it was the mother-in-law's own food, and the problem was that she, the mother-in-law, was not mezakeh it unto her daughter-in-law, and that's why Reb Chiya said it was an ineffective Eruv Tchumen. So we brought this piece of Gemara to show that the issue of being mezakeh by the case of an Eruv Tchum, where you are trying to benefit someone else from a Tchum, you're taking your own food on their behalf, the issue of the need to present it to someone else on behalf of the beneficiary, which we call mezakeh, that is a machloikes tanoim. You'll notice that there's a bracketed section. Unlike usual bracketed section, this is not for skipping purposes. And the note on the side indicates this, where you see the star. Kan hasugrayim enom kidei ledaleg kadima. The purpose of these brackets is not to skip forwards in the Gemara. Elo rak levodei keta gemara shemulvat hashemos hatochen dom lemashe kodam lo. It's other than the names involved, the contents of this is similar to that which we already learned. So that having been said, let's go straight through the bracketed section. Omer le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Yankiv bra de bas Yankiv. Rabbi Zera says to Rabbi Yankiv, ki motis hasam, when you go there, Akif vizil lesuma detzur. Go in a roundabout way, means lengthen your journey so that you can end up in this place, suma detzur. Uboy mine Rav Yankiv Bar Idi, and you'll be able to ask of Rav Yankiv Bar Idi, who lived there, bo mine. The following is the question. Again, as we mentioned, this is a continuation of the Gemara just before regarding the incident involving the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Shaya, who had gone to the bathhouse outside her tchum. And we saw Rabbi Chiyo reacting that it was an ineffective Erev Tchumen. Mishel Chamosa Irva Mishum Delo Zichzalah. Is it because the food, though it was the mother-in-law's own food, but she was not mezake it unto her daughter-in-law, Oidilma Mishelo Irva, or it was her own, it was the mother-in-law took the daughter-in-law's food without informing her, Mishum Delo the Shalom Midaita, as we said, without her knowledge. Omar lay, Mishel Chamosa Irva law, Umishum Delo Zichsala. So Rab Yankiv Bar Idi, unto whom the question was presented, answered that it was in fact the mother in law's own food, but the problem was she was not mizake it unto her daughter in law. Omar Rav Nachmon, Naktinon, we have a tradition, Echod Eruve Tchumin, Echod Shitufe Mavuos, whether it be the Tchum extender or the joining together of dwellers, Tzorach Lezakos. See, Rav Nachman is different than that Rav and Shmuel in the sense that he equates the two, that you need in both cases Lezakos. Boi Rav Nachman, Eruve Tavshilin, Tzorach Lezakos, Oein Tzorach Lezakos. This is the third example that we mentioned in our introduction, the issue of Eruve Tavshilin. So that if I prepare an Erev Tavshilin on your behalf, and I use my own food, in order for you to benefit by my Erev Tavshilin, and as we said before, the Erev Tavshilin enables one to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, which otherwise would be forbidden. One has to accord a holy day, its proper respect, and not use it to prepare for the next day, even if the next day happens to be Shabbos. That's one of the svaros that the Gemara mentions regarding the need for an Erev Tavshilin. So if I'm preparing it on your behalf, do I have to present it to someone else who will receive it on your behalf or not? Omar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef, upon hearing this question, he reacts, Umay Tiboy Alei, what is Rav Nachman's question to begin with? Ha, Umay Tiboy Alei, Lo Shmi Alei, did he not hear Ha'diyam Rav Nachman by Rav Ado Omar Shmuel? Eruvei Tavshilin Tzorech Lezakos. So Rav Yosef is wondering, why did Rav Nachman himself ask the question? There's a teaching in the name of Shmuel that says explicitly that Eruvei Tavshilin requires Zechia, which in effect would just put it in the same category as the other Eruvin, according to Rav Nachman. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, Pshita Delo Shmi Alei. It's obvious that Rav Nachman, in asking his question, shows us that he did not hear Shmuel's teaching. If he had heard Shmuel's teaching, so Rav Nachman would never have asked the question. Omar Le, Rav Yosef says back, Otu Eruve Tchumen Mi Lo Omar Shmuel Ein Sorach Lezakos. Is it not so that with regard to Eruve Tchumen, Shmuel had said you don't need to be mezake the Omar Ihu Tzorch Lezakos, and Rav Nachman himself said you do need Zechia. So from the fact that Shmuel may have taken a position, that's no guarantee that Rav Nachman would have assumed the same position. So Rav Yosef's question to Abaye is, how can you be so sure that Rav Nachman had not heard Shmuel's position? So Abaye responds, Hochi Hashta, how can you compare these cases, the case of the Eruv Tchumen to the case of Eruv Tavshilin? Bishlamo Hosam Pligi Ravu Shmuel. There, that Rav Nachman had paskined that whether it be Eruv Tchumen or Eruv Chatzeros, you need Lezakos. Well, he can take that position because, after all, there's a machlokis Rav and Shmuel v'komash shmolon kechumen demar v'chi chumen demar, and Rav Nachman in paskening the way he did by those kind of eruvin chumen and chatzeros, he is showing that we adopt the stringencies of Rav, who was stringent with regard to the Eruv Tchumen, and the stringency of Shmuel with regard to the Eruv, or the Eruv Chatzer, so the Sheet of Muvos, where he said, Sorach Lezakos. Afal Hocha, the Gemara goes on, but here in the case of Eruve Tavshilin, E Isa the Shmuelay, if Rav Nachman had heard Shmuel's teaching of Tzorach Lezakos, Mi Iko Daman de Polik, is there someone that argues? Unlike the Eruve Tchumen and the Eruv Shita Muvos, where there was a Machlokas, and then it's a question of choosing which Shita you want to Paskin like, in the case of the Eruv Tchumen, it's not an issue that is controversial. And had Rav Nachman heard Shmuel's opinion, he certainly would have accepted it. And that's why Abaye was so certain that Rav Nachman had not heard Shmuel's teaching. We continue in the Gemara with a topic heading on the side, the Nosei Isha Hama'areves Shalom Midas Bailo. One's wife who makes an Eruv without her husband's knowledge. The assumption being that the food, the possessions in a household belong to the man, the husband, and here the woman is acting without his knowledge. We will see in the continuation of the Gemara a house marking that highlights the expression Hahu Turzina. Turzina was a type of man who was in charge of the armory of a particular community, of any given community, and there was an incident involving such a man. Two meisim we have on the side under our Mivne heading. We've noted there's shnei meisim hakshurim lenosei hanal, two incidents that relate to the issue of a wife making the eruv. We turn to the Gemara. Hahu torzino dahava b'shivusei the Rebbe Zera. So there was this armory official who was in the shivusei, the neighborhood of Rebbe Zera. Omar le ogir lon rishusach. Now this Turzino was a non-Jew, and he lived in the amongst these other Jews. So they turned to him and said, "Would you rent to us your dwelling? Because otherwise, if you have a courtyard and an idol worshiper lives in one of the houses, he presents a problem for the Eruv. An Eruv cannot be made with him. He is not part of the halachas of Shabbos. So the solution, in order to remove him from the picture, so to speak, so as to have a unified dwelling or domain, we would rent from him his location. Well, anyway, lo ogir lahu. This Torzina did not rent to them his dwelling. Also lekame to Rabbi Zera. The case came to Rabbi Zera. Omru le, they asked him, Ma'u lemegar midvisu? Can we rent his dwelling from his wife? Work behind his back, so to speak. Omar lahu, hochi omar Rish Lakish, mishmei de gavra rabo, umonu Rabbi Hanina. So Rabbi Zera says, thusly says Reish Lakish in the name of a great man. And who's the great man? Rabbi Hanina, ishto shel odom ma'areves shelo midaito. The wife of a person can make an Eruv, in this case she'll rent the location of the Turzina to the other people, even without his knowledge. Ahu Turzina, the Havishwuse, the Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Oshaya. Same type of story, here it involves in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yehuda. Amri Le, they asked the Turzina, Ogulon Meshusach, Lo Ogulu, after requesting renting from him, he did not want to. Also the Kamei, the Rabbi Yehuda, Bar Oshaya. The case came to Rav Yehuda, Amru Le, they asked him, Aul Megum Nevisu, can we rent from his wife? Lo Hava Biyodeh. In this case, he didn't have an answer. Also Lekameh to Rav Matana, Lo Hava Biyodeh. Rav Matana likewise had no answer. Also come Rav Yehuda. The case then came to Rav Yehuda, Amar Lehu, Hochi Amar Shmuel. Thusly, says Shmuel, Ishto Sheodom, Ma'areves Shaloi Midaito. Now you'll notice we have a triangle, and another one in a few lines in an opposite direction. So on the side of our Gemara, under our Mivne heading, we've noted Shnei Halachos Shel Shmuel Shenir Ois Sosus. There are two halachos that we'll be seeing in the name of Shmuel that appear to be contradictory. So we now have heard Shmuel saying that Ishto Shel Adam Areva Shalomi Daito Meisvei. We raise an objection from a source. Noshim she'irvu v'nishtatvu shalomidas balehen ain eruv on eruv, ain shituf on shituf. Here you have a clear indication that that wives of men that make an eruv, whether it be an eruv chatzeros or an shituf muvos, without the knowledge of their husbands, so it's ineffective. Lo kashya. There is no contradiction here. There's no question on Shmuel. Ha de osar, ha de lo osar. Let's take a look at the Rashi toward the end of the Rashi commentary. Ha de osar al bnei hamovui. If you have a, let's say a courtyard that opens into a singular alleyway, so you have houses, courtyards lining an alleyway, and there's only one alleyway in this picture. So if that courtyard doesn't join in the mavui, in the shituf muvos, so it will present it will cause a restriction on all the rest of the dwellers, and in such a case, the wife is able to act. She can act in order to prevent everyone else from suffering. That's the case of ha de osar. That's what Shmuel was referring to when he said ish tishon ma'arev shalom idaito. However, the case of de lo osar, Rashi goes on to say, at the end of the line, umasnisin b'delo osar, the case of the Tanaic source that was just quoted is where that particular courtyard does not cause restriction on the alleyway. What's the case? Kigon chotzer shebein shnevos. Imagine, as you can see in illustration 70, a courtyard positioned between two alleyways. Urugila im ze ve lo im ze, and this particular courtyard is used to using one alleyway and not the other alleyway. So the alleyway that it's not common that this courtyard doesn't use doesn't impose any restriction on that particular alleyway. They're considered as if this courtyard is not part of them because it's rugil in the other alleyway. In such a case, if there was an attempt to ma'ariv between these two alleyways, if there was an attempt to make a shituf joining this courtyard with the low rugil alley, so it would have to be with her husband's knowledge. The woman would not be able to make such a shituf muvos on her own. The Gemara continues. Hochi nami mistabro. This approach is most likely that Shmuel be moide, where moide meaning that the husband's knowledge is necessary in a case of lo osar. The im king is if you don't accept this answer, kashya de Shmuel ad Shmuel will then have a contradiction in Shmuel teachings. The Omar Shmuel echad mibnei mavui shirogil ishtatef im bnei mavui velo nishtatef. A member of an alleyway that's accustomed to joining with the other dwellers, and he didn't. Rashi says, "V'lo nishtatev eino rotze u'miskavim le'esor aleihem." He decides not to join in, and his intention is imposing. He wants to impose a restriction on all the rest. The Shmuel says, "Bnei hamavui nichnasim l'soch beisav v'notlim shitufan mimenu baal korcho." The other members of that alleyway can enter his house, take his food against his will, and this is a case of without his knowledge, without his approval, and make a shituf, and thereby force him, so to speak, to be part of the shituf. And we point out, rogil in she'ein rogil lo. It's only because he is a regular, as we said, he was usually joined with them, and being that he usually joined with them, he. In the absence of his joining, he imposes a restriction. However, if he was ein rogil, so then they wouldn't be able to make the shituf without his knowledge. So this is just like the case of just like the Gemara had answered ha de osar and ha de lo osar, and we saw in the Rashi where he is osir, and that's a function of his being rugged with a particular alleyway, that's when things can be done without the party's approval. Or in our case, the wife can do it without her husband's knowledge. The Gemara continues, Lemo Messiah, actually we should just read Shema Amino so that this is proof to the answer that we gave before. Lemo Messiah Le, can we say the following supports this approach? It's the source says, Koifin Oisei Lasus Lechi Vekoro Lemovui. We can force a member of the alleyway to contribute toward making the upright post or the crossbar, which enables carrying within an alleyway. So what do we see? Koifin. Koifin means we do something forcibly, without one's das, without one's approval or knowledge. So this would seem to support the teretz we just gave, that when it's a case of someone that would, well, something that would aser, like the absence of a lechi or koro in their absence, so no one can carry in that particular alleyway. The Gemara says no, and we're at the top of Omid Beis. The Gemara says that you cannot conclude from this Mishnah of Koifin Oisei Lasus Lechi the case of making a sheet of muvos baal korcho. Why? Hossam, the case of the lechi and korcho is a more serious matter. Hossam de leko mechitzos. Rashi explains at the top, Hossam, the shiny Hossam de leko mechitzos, movui megulahu. Without the crossbar or the upright pole, which in our mind's eye serves as a type of mechitza, a type of block between the Movui and the main thoroughfare outside the Rishus HaRabim, so it would be, without that, it would be Megula, means exposed. V'eino noach l'shomo, and it's hard to guard it. Hilkoch kifin so. Therefore, because of this additional consideration, not just a Shabbos legality, the rights or lack thereof of carrying, but here it's more of a physical concern. It's difficult to guard it if it's gaping open. Hilkoch kifin so. That's why we force him to contribute. Avalahatir betiltul. But as far as a mechanism that allows carrying, in that case, maybe under all circumstances, you need to have das. The commentaries on the Girsos suggest here that the words that we have in parentheses are not to be read. It's not part of the Girsa. We continue on the second line. Itmar Reb Chiya Bar Ashi Omar Oisin Lechi Ashera. Reb Chiya says that a lechi can be made using an Ashera tree. An Ashera tree is a tree that was worshipped as an idol, and it can serve as the lechi, as the upright pole at the entrance of a mavui. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Omar Oisin Kira Ashera. And Reish Lakish says that the Ashera tree can serve as a kora. The Korah is the crossbeam. We should just, by way of background, before continuing the Gemara, the upright pole has no required minimum dimension. So it can be a very thin pole, and it's still effective as a lechi. A Korah, on the other hand, has a dimension that was dictated by the Gemara, that it must be a tefach. It has to be a handbreadth wide. Otherwise, it's not an effective korah. So now, with that in mind, we continue. Man the Omar korah kol shekein lechi. Reish Lakish, who says that an ashera, which is a tree of idolatry, can be used as a korah, then certainly it would be able to be used as a lechi. We'll explain this in a moment. Man the Omar lechi. Reb Chiya Bar Ashi, who says that the ashera can be used as a lechi, avol korah lo, but it wouldn't be able to be used as a korah. Why? Ketusi mechtas shiurei. Literally, ketusi means it's smashed, shiurei, its dimensions. In other words, the asherah being that its destiny is to be burnt. Rashi points out, the pasuk v'ashirim tisrum v'esh, it's something that is supposed to be burnt. So we look at something that's destiny is to be burnt as if it is already burnt. And as such, it doesn't have a shi'ur. It doesn't have a dimension. It's ash in your mind's eye. So something that requires a dimension, for example, a korah, this opinion of Rebbe Chiya Bar Ashi, who says that an asherah can function as a lechi, that's fine and good, because a lechi doesn't have any required quantity or dimension. But a korah which does have a required dimension, being that its destiny is to be burnt, we view it as if it's already burnt, and it thereby lacks the necessary dimension to serve as a good korah. Continuing with the Mishnah. Nismayit ha'ochel moisef umezake. If the food quantity became deficient, so if you're using your own food, so you must mezake it unto the others. The ein tzorach lohodia. This is a case where if you're using their food, since they originally agreed to having this eruv made, now that the amount of food became deficient, you can take from their food automatically because of their original approval. In other words, the original approval that they expressed by having contributed their own food, it shows us that they will be happy with your taking their food without a formal informing of them. Nisvasfu alehem moisifu mezakeh. Nitoisfu alehen, if new people came in, joined in, Moisif umezake. Moisif means if it's food that he's providing for them on their behalf, so he has to mezake it unto someone else, that they should receive it on behalf of the beneficiaries. Vitzorach lehodia, if he's using their food, these new dwellers, then their new dwellers' food, so then he has to inform them. The Rashi says, "V'tzorach lahodia la diurin shenisvasu, to the new dwellers im daiton be'eruv, if they're interested in the eruv kagon shemarev mishalahen." This is speaking about a case where you are using their food. The time precious liel, and we explained this earlier. The tarti kotoni, there are two points taught as we already explained the Mishnah. Moisufu mezake imishalom arev, the adding of food and mezake, that's if he's using his own food for their benefit. Vetzorch lodia imishalahen arev, however, if he's using their food, so he has to inform them. The Gemara continues, kama hu shiuron, what is the amount of food? The Gemara answers, Bizman Shehein Merubin, when there are a lot of dwellers, Mazon Shtei Sudos Likulam, the amount that constitutes two meals worth of bread, if you will, two meals worth of food, is enough for all of the inhabitants. Bizman Shehein Mu'atin, if there are fewer than we'll see more about this in the Gemara, then Kigrogeris Bechol Echod Ve'echod. A gugeris is a fig size of bread or of food for each one. Omar Rabbi Yossi Bamed Vomurim. Rabbi Yossi says, under what circumstances is this Mishnah taught? That's betchilas eruv. That's when you're coming to establish the eruv initially, the making of the eruv. Aval b'shiure eruv. If, however, you have a situation where an eruv was made and it became diminished in the course of time, then kol shehu. There's no need for adding. And Rashi points out that Rabbi Yossi is cholek on the Tanakama. Lo omru la'arev b'chatzeros. After a shituf muvos is made, namely courtyards opening into an alleyway, joined together, they joined all their courtyards to create a single entity vis-a-vis the alleyway. So the Mishnah points out that after a shituf was made, the idea of making an eruv chatzeros, which involves joining the houses of individual courtyards to form a single entity vis-a-vis each courtyard, the need for an eruv chatzeros after a shituf muvos has already been made is only such ela kedei shelo lishkach es hatinokos, so that the children don't forget the concept of an eruv chatzeros. Rashi points out that since the need for an Eruv Chatzeros under these circumstances is only for this consideration, because as far as creating a single entity, the Shituf Muvos already accomplishes that. Therefore, under such circumstances, we can be makil, we can be lenient when problems arise. The Gemara. Actually, before the Gemara, we just glance at the side under our Nosei, our topic heading, where we've written, Hameniach Eruv V'hamoisif Olav, one who places down, places an Eruv, or one who adds to it, Mosai Tzorch Vaitom Shalachem, when do you need the awareness and approval of the others? So now the Gemara opens up with a question that lasts a number of lines, and hence we have a long question marking. B'mai Askinon, what is the Mishnah involved with when it says that Nismait Ein Tzorach Lahudia? I lema b'min echad. If we're talking about the same type of food item that was used originally, and we have in our Mishnah case where the amount of food diminished, and I'm going to be using, let us say, since we explained the Mishnah of Tzorach Lahudia, the issue of Lahudia is when you're using the other people's food, and our Mishnah said, Nismait Ein Tzorach Lahudia, is the case where you're using the same type of food, you're using their food, the same type of food that was used originally, Ma'irya Nismait. Why then does the Mishnah teach the case of Nismayit? The Mishnah could have taught even a greater Chiddush. Afilu kolo nami, even if it's completely gone, if it's a function of drawing their food, but it's the same kind of food that they originally contributed, you don't have to inform them. Elo bishnei minin. It must be, in other words, this Nismayit, that the Mishnah has to teach me the case of Nisma'et, and I still don't have to inform them, it must be Bishnei Minim. It must be it's two different kinds of food, where the original contribution was one type of food item, and now that it's Nisma'et, and I have to replenish the Eruv, so I have to replenish it, and I'm going to use a different kind of food item, so the Mishnah is telling me you don't have to inform them. So the Gemara goes on to say, Afilu Nismait Nami Lo. You can't make an Eruv without informing them. If you're using a different kind of food item and you want to replenish it, so even the case of Nismait, you can't make it without informing them. Desanya, the source says kolo ha'oichel. If the food is completely gone, mimin echod ein tzorach lahudia. If it's a function of the original food that you want to take from them to replenish the food that has been finished off, you don't have to inform them. Mishnei minin. If it's two different kinds of food, tzorach lahudia, you do have to inform them. Before we go further, let's just go over the problem. If you are, we have our Mishnah that teaches that nismai ein tzorach lahudia. If it's a case where you're using the same kind of food to replenish the diminished amount, So the Mishnah wouldn't have to teach the case of Nismayit. It could teach me a bigger Hiddush, even if all the food is gone. Now, if you're going to tell me that it's a different kind of food item, so then even in the case of Nismayit, you would not be allowed to make an Eruv using their food without informing them. And the source we just read, it's true that it opens up with the word kola, but the assumption in this Havamina is the same thing would apply to a case of Nismayit. The Gemara answers, Ibois Emo Mimin Echad, Vibois Emo Mishnei Minim. We can look at this source and resolve our problems, whether you explain it with one min Or you explain it with two minim as follows. Iboyesemo mi min echad. The source is talking about min echad. And we asked if it was min echad, so then if that's what the source is referring to, so then why did the Mishnah teach a case of nisma'it? It could have even been kola. So the Gemara says, my nisma'it, what is nisma'it of the Mishnah mean? Nismat-mate. Nismat-mate means it's completely gone. V'boyes-emo, mishne-minim, you can look at this source and say it's talking about two, in fact it's talking about two different kinds of food, and the Mishnah that said nisma'it ein tzorach lodia is accurate as it is, that in nisma'it you don't have to. Kolo shiny, but the source that spoke about the food is completely gone, that's a different situation. Since it's completely gone, and I want to draw from their food supply and use different food from that which they originally contributed, I have to inform them. Nisfasfu aleihem moisif umezake v'tzorech lahudia. Omar Rav Shizvi, Omar Rav Chisda, Zoysoy Meres, this shows us, this tells us, Chalukin Olav Chaverov al Reb Yehuda, that the colleagues of Reb Yehuda are at odds or disagree with him. This Nan, we have a Tanaic source and we'll show how Reb Yehuda's opinion is at odds or differs than that of his colleagues, as we saw in our Mishnah. The source says, Amar Reb Yehuda, Bamed v'mamurim, when is it that you require knowledge or awareness and approval? Beiruvei Tchumin. That's when you are extending a tchum for someone else, so you have to have their approval. Avol beiruvei chatzeros ma'arvin bein ladas uvein shelo ladas. With regard to making an eruv chatzeros, even you can make it even without their knowledge. So here we have in our mission it says that if new dwellers came, so you need to inform them. Reb Yehuda says people, when it comes to an eruv chatzeros, do not need to be informed when an eruv is made, being made for them. So the Gemara says, what do I need Rav Shizvi for? Pshita dechalukin. It's obvious. What is Rav Shizvi telling me in the name of Rav Chisda? So mahu detemo, I might have thought, hani mili, bechotzer shebein shnei muvos. The Mishnah that speaks about tzorech lahodia, that's a case of a courtyard between two alleyways. In a case of a courtyard between two alleyways, so then there is an issue of needing their knowledge. Avol chotzer shel movui echod emolo. But a courtyard that is part of a singular movui, in other words, it opens into one movui, as opposed to the case just mentioned, a chotzer that's situated between two alleyways, I would have thought that emolo, that our Mishnah would say, that the Rabbanan would say, that you don't need to have das. Komash Molon, that's what Rav Shizvi, Om Rav Chisda says, that even in this case, Rav Yehuda will argue with the Mishnah and say, will argue with the Mishnah, meaning his colleagues, and say that that you don't need to have das. And the Rabbanan say, you do need to have das. As we have pointed out between the lines, Lofi Mishnosenu, when we say here, Komash Malam, that Lofi Mishnosenu, Gam B'movui Echod Tzorech Das. That would be the opinion of the Rabbanan, and Reb Yehuda says, no. Before we go further in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi. Mahu Detemo, Li'oilam, I would have thought, Li'oilam Reb Yehuda, Behu meforesh hu, as opposed to arguing that Reb Yehuda is coming to explain. When in our source that we have, we just cited Om Reb Yehuda Bamed Vamamurim, I might have thought without Rav Shizvi, Om Rav Chisda, I would have thought that Reb Yehuda is coming to explain. umas nisin dehacha, the our Mishnah here that says you need to have das bechotzer shebein shnei muvos. That's a case with a chotzer that's situated between two alleyways. De lo yad inon behein nichole. We don't know which alleyway he would prefer to be a member of. So therefore, you've got to have his. You've got to have their approval. Komashmulan Rav Shizvi de shmielei mirabei. Rav Shizvi comes to heard from his teacher. De bemovui echod askinon. The Mishnah that mentions you need to have das is talking even in the case of one mavui. We continue in the Gemara. Kamo hu shiuro v'chulei. The Mishnah itself had made a distinction between merubin, when you have a lot of people, so all that you need for making your eruv chatzeris is mazon shtei seudos, enough food that would constitute two meals worth. However, if it's merubin, then if it's mu'atin, meaning there are few people, then a fig quantity per member that's contributing to the eruv. Kama, the Gemara asks, kama hu merubin? What is meant by a lot of people? Omar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel, shmoina esrei b'nei odom. 18 people. The Gemara asks, shmoina esrei v'sulo? Just 18 is a lot and more than that is not? Emo, rather say, to be more accurate, mi shmoina esrei v'eilich. From 18 onwards, that is called merubin, and under such circumstances, if you have, let's say, 18 dwellers living in the same courtyard, all that has to be provided is a sum total of two meals worth of bread that will be moat that will exempt everybody. What's the significance of 18 people? Omar Rav Yitzchok Breid Rav Yehuda Lidim Shulminei De Abo. So Rav Yitzchok says it was explained to me by father. Kol Sheilu Mechalko LeMozon Shtei Sudos Binehen. Any amount of if you have a situation that you were to take two meals worth of bread, so you have an established quantity known as Shtei Sudos, and now divide it amongst all the dwellers there. V'ein magas gueris l'chol echod v'echod, and each party, the number of people is so great that each person would get less than a fig quantity. Hein hein merubin v'sagi b'mozon shtei sudos. That is called merubin. And under such circumstances, two meals worth is enough to exempt the whole assembly, the whole group of people. V'iloi, however, if by dividing the two meals worth of food, there would be a grogeris or more per person, then mu'atin ninu. That is called mu'atin. V'agav urche komashmon, and by the way, we are taught the shtei sudos havin shmoin esrei grogros. The actual quantity of two meals worth of bread is 18 figs. 18 figs is, again, a quantity of bread. The Mishnah. B'chol ma'arvin u'mishtatfin chutz min ha'mayim u'min ha'melech. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. You can use anything food-wise for making an eruv chatzeros or a sheet of muvos except for water and salt. Rabbi Yeshua Omer kikar hu eruv. He's saying you need to have a complete loaf in order to fulfill the eruv requirements. Afilu maifa sa'a v'hu prusa ein ma'arvin ba. If you have something that's baked, a maifa is something baked, sa'a is a quantity, and for our purposes it's a large quantity, it's a very large baked item. However, something's been ripped off of it. Prusa means something has been removed from it. You cannot use it as an eruv. Kikar ki isar, imagine a very small loaf, the size of an isar. Isar is a small coin. V'hu shalim, but it is complete. Ma'arvin bo, it is fit for making an eruv with it. Now, being that it's just a very small coin in size, you'd have to have several of these small loaves to have to fulfill the requirement of grogeris per person that we mentioned earlier. The Gemara will continue on Pei Aleph, but being that we completed the Omid at this point, at the end of the Mishnah, this would be a convenient place to pause. But before we close, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.